I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier. No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error. Go stronger.
Wake up, America. Don't hit the snooze button. And make sure that before we all die and have that exit interview, make sure you, before you die, you leave it all out in the field. My name is Jesse Romero. I am 10-8 reporting for duty. And let's pray America great again. Terry, are you there?
Amen, brother. I'm reporting for duty. And Jesse, I'm excited again every day to be able to proclaim the gospel of a day and to talk about how people can fall deep in love with Jesus Christ. I want to make a special announcement on Friday. Father Altman and Bishop Joseph Strickland have a special premiere show at 5 o'clock on Friday. Over 30-some thousand people have already looked at the video. And if you want to see the preview, go to Virgin Most Powerful Radio's YouTube channel, and you'll see what you're going to get, a full hour of those two talking. And he's the bishop who actually supports Father Altman, which you don't have anybody else doing that, so you'll want to find out why. But today's show, we have some special things to discuss. One thing is, the Justice Department says San Francisco worship restrictions are draconian. Now, what's interesting is the Archbishop Cardeleon is pushing back, and now the Justice Department is saying, you're right, Bishop, you guys are being persecuted, and we need to support what you're doing. Can you imagine the previous administration backing the Catholic Archbishop? No way, Jesse. Number two, we're going to talk about an article by Dr. Janet Smith. She's a professor who taught at the seminary, at Sacred Heart Seminary, for years, and she's giving advice for preaching and the election, how not to get into trouble but still be effective. This is beautiful to give to your pastor so that he'll stand up for life. Beautiful stock to talk on that. Also, Jesse.
Also, on the third segment, I think we should give an analysis of the debate last
night. Oh, yeah, we can talk about that. I got some.
Yeah. I just wrote down a quick paragraph a lot of things I'd like to share with the audience.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do
on
that.
The last segment.
Yeah,
yes.
And you know, my comment on it is going to be basically rules for radicals by Saul Alinsky was implemented by Joe Biden quite well, denying facts. That's what I saw on that. But we'll talk more about that. The last thing, if we get time to do it, Jess, Sister Lucy's last public interview. I call it spiritual warfare interview because this interview that she had with Father Fuentes is an amazing content and how it
maybe
relates
we could save
us.
That one for tomorrow so we could do it justice.
Yeah, let's do that because there's a lot there in that.
Let's
too,
do
Jess.
It justice tomorrow.
All right,
because of the debate. I'm
absolutely.
Thinking.
Well, before we get into the soul food, I just want to say thanks for tagging us. Our YouTube membership goes up just last week. 1,850 people came on board, so I want to welcome them. And if you're brand new, thank you so much. Jesse, I'd like you to basically proclaim the gospel. We call it soul food time here at the Terry and Jesse Show.
Very simple, short and sweet to the fact.
Yep.
Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Mm. The gospel according to Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62, today's gospel reading. Mm-hmm. As Jesus and his disciples were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him,
yep,
I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus answered him, foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head. And to another he said, follow me. So notice, following Jesus Christ is a life little by little of self-detachment. That's Amen. What the saints call it. And that's how you get to the final phase of the soul, which is called the unitive aspect of the soul, when you're so united to Jesus that everything in the world seems like chaff, seems like absolutely insignificant in comparison with possessing Christ. Goes on to say, but he replied, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But he answered him, let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. So what does that mean? Is Jesus being mean-spirited here about, hey, you know, forget about your father, man. Just come and follow me. Here's what's happening here, and here's what a lot of Catholic liberals don't understand. And it all comes down to this this phony doctrine or theology. It's called the seamless garment.
Yeah.
What our Lord is showing here is that following Jesus, discipleship, becoming holy, becoming an evangelizer and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a spiritual work of mercy. The next one is bury the dead. That's a corporal work of mercy. What is that showing us? Our Lord is essentially saying that the spiritual works of mercy take precedence. They're preeminent over the corporal works of mercy. The Catholic left has it completely inverted.
That's right.
In the last 60 years, they've horizontalized our religion, where they say that the horizontal, the social aspect of Christianity supersedes the vertical. They're just simply wrong. They don't know New Testament theology or the church's teaching, the perennial teachings of the church. And the Lord Jesus Christ is demonstrating the vertical, the spiritual works of mercy are more important than the corporal works of mercy. Not that the corporal works of mercy are as important, but he's just showing here the preeminence of the one over the other. He goes on to say, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. In other words, the proclamation of the kingdom, the spiritual works of mercy, is more important than anything on the horizontal level. And it says, and another said, I will follow you, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. Jesus answered him. Again, see, self-detachment. The person says, no, my family's important. Blood's important. Blood. Race is important. No, Jesus says, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In other words, when just like Lot and his family, when they were fleeing Sodom, that's a perfect analogy. The man is the patriarch. He's called to lead his family to heaven, to salvation, to sanctification. And the wife is called to submit and to surrender. I know that's very difficult in our feminist, modernist, social, relativistic culture. But what happens when you say, no, I want to hold on to the things that I used to have? We've made a fortune, honey. Look at all the property. Look at this, that, and the other that we have. What happened to Lot's wife? She was struck dead on the spot because she did not want to pursue the unitive aspect of Christianity, which is full union with God and self-detachment from the world. That's what today's gospel is teaching, Terry.
And you know what, Jess? It fits right with Bishop Sheen. So let's bring the smartest guy into the room. Full Sheen ahead. This is on politics, Jesse. We're in a time right now for a huge election coming up in a month. Here comes. Bishop Sheen says, never before in history has the spiritual been so unprotected against the political. Never before has the political so, check this out, usurped the spiritual. Jesse, that's what you're saying. It is not religion that is meddling in politics. It's politics that's meddling in religion. And I think of that, Jesse, Raz, and this was written 58 years ago. I've got it from the quotable Sheen. And I'm telling you, his wisdom is timeless, Jess, just timeless. And you know, Jess, that just brings us up. I don't mind. I want to talk about the debate that people were watching, but we'll wait a little bit longer on that because I want to hear your take, because I sat there with my son and had take some notes, and I'd like to talk about that also. But oh, I also want to just remind people, then we come back.
The feast day, Terry.
Yeah, Jesse, give us the feast, St. Jerome. Go ahead, Jess. Hit it.
St. Jerome, pray for us.
Amen.
Scripture scholar, he's known for the phrase, ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ. And I also, Terry, I've read his life story.
Yes.
He also had issues with anger. He lived in a cave for many years.
Yeah.
To try to subdue that passion.
God, I love him.
And I can relate to him, Terry.
Me too, Jess.
I'm like, oh man, Saint Jerome, pray for me. I have that same issue, especially when I see injustice.
Oh yeah.
So, Saint Jerome, if you looked at one of his famous paintings, Saint Jerome's always holding a large rock. Why? It's a symbol of mortification. You know, when you pound your breast at Holy Mass, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy,
yes.
in the Latin Mass, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea. Saint Jerome literally during the liturgy, during Mass, he would have a big rock, and they said he would pound his chest and it would sound like a drum. And he did that specifically to mortify his body.
Yep.
He had a fine education in the classics in Rome. He was baptized. He moved from Rome to different places. Mm-hmm. But he finally settled, Terry, in Bethlehem in a cave because he wanted to study intensely the Bible and the
yep.
life of Christ.
Yep.
And he studied in Hebrew. He did penance for his many temptations. He says that he moved to the cave because he had to take the dancing girls out of his mind that he'd seen
sure.
in city life.
Sure.
And so he lived in a cave. He was taught by the rabbis. And probably the greatest fruits of his priestly ministry is the translation of the Bible, the Latin Vulgate. Mm-hmm. It was commissioned by Pope Damasus. And he died in 420 AD. He's one of the four great Latin fathers. And again, from him we have the phrase, ignorance of Scripture is ignorance of Christ. And all I can say is, St. Jerome, pray for us. Terry?
Well said. I'm glad we got that in, Jesse. When we come back, we're going to talk about the San Francisco Archdiocese that's being, I call, persecuted, and what Archbishop calls it, where they're mocking God. And he says, you know, you've crossed the line. We're going to continue to have masses, and we're having spiritual warfare here in San Francisco. But the neat thing that's happened, Jesse, and I've not seen this happen before, that the Justice Department says San Francisco worship restrictions are draconian. And we're going to get into that and much more. And I think that he could lead California out of the dark ages. What I mean, dark ages of this virus, that we need to come out and swing our Catholic faith. And that's what Archbishop Corleone is saying. We have to step out in faith right now. And we'll tell you more about that when we come back on the other side of this quick break. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need Covenant Eye to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to CovenantEyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. It's www.CovenantEyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Lord, prepare my hands for battle and my fingers for war.
Amen.
Psalm 44, verse 1. Terry,
yes, sir.
I think the Protestants have kind of given some curse to some of the Catholics. I'm going to,
I agree with him.
It's good. I mean, that's Bible says iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Even if it's a Protestant pastors that are standing up to the government, now we have Archbishop Corleone, Terry.
Yes,
who's basically saying, you know what? Let's do it, Catholics. I'm looking at a picture here. It's very powerful. You have Catholics in San Francisco walking with the Holy Eucharist in a procession 10 days ago.
I love it.
And the Justice Department says that San Francisco worship restrictions are draconian.
That's right.
Which means it's too strict.
Yep.
Okay? So the U.S. Department of Justice on September 25th, just a few days ago, warned San Francisco officials that the current restrictions on public worship in the city may be unconstitutional.
I think
the courts are going to side with them, Terry.
I think so, too.
I think they are. We got now. You got Catholics and Protestants again using the legal system, and so a lot of people are praising Archbishop Salvatore Corleone, who I believe is taking the lead in the state of California for the Catholics.
Absolutely.
And Corleone said this on Friday. He says Catholics in San Francisco have been patiently suffering injustice for months. At last, a competent legal authority is challenging the city's absurd rules, which have no basis in science, but are grounded in hostility to religion and especially the Catholic Church, says Archbishop Corleone. And the Department of Justice, on September 25th, sent a letter to Mayor London Breed warning that the city's rule allowing only one worshiper in places of worship at a time, regardless of their size, while allowing multiple patrons in other indoor establishments, is draconian. In other words, it's strict. It's too rigid. And it's contrary to the Constitution and to the nation's best tradition of religious freedom. Terry?
Well, Jesse, Archbishop Corleone says these restrictions are mocking God. I think that's why he stepped out of his rectory, the cathedral, just say, look, this is, you know, mocking God. We've got to stand up for our rights. And he says, one person at a time in this great cathedral to pray? What an insult. This is a mockery. They are mocking you, and even worse, they're mocking God, Archbishop Corleone said in an outdoor homily. Jesse, when he said that, you know what? Everybody applauded him, saying, you're right, Archbishop. But Jesse, check this out. In San Francisco, you know, I mean, there's priests, many around the archdiocese, including the cathedral, are celebrating multiple masses every Sunday outside. You know, they're trying to get along with this. But outdoor masses pose their own health challenges, as in the Bay Area, experiencing some of the worst air quality in the world due to the fires and the smoke and the pollutants. But check this out. Follow the money, Jess. Here comes. Hotels in San Francisco are fully reopened. Why? Because the city gets dollars every time they call it heads in beds. I've been there. I know what they're doing. They've got to have the hotels open because the funding for the city won't happen without that. So what do they do? Oh, hotels, come on. Come on down. We get a little some money on that. They're not getting any money for having people go to church. I'm sorry, Jess, but that's my line. Follow the money. Now, hotels are fully reopened. Indoor gyms are set to reopen at 10% capacity. Most retail stores are allowed to operate at 50% capacity, while malls are restricted to 25%. Gyms operate.
Except if you're rioting, then you can be 100% capacity in the mall.
Of course, Jesse.
Right.
Rioting, and not only that, looting. And you don't get in, you know, give me a break.
Yeah.
Gyms operated in government buildings for police officers and other government employees have already reopened. See,
100%.
See, Jesse, if this is not that obvious, it's obvious to me. And you know what, Jess? I just don't know why it took so long for us to, wake up and smell the coffee. This is persecution, and we have to stand up because if we don't push back, they're going to, you know what they want, really, Jesse? They want the religious people to shut up.
Shut your mouth.
You got it. And you know what, Jess?
That's what the whole masks are all about, Terry.
Thank you.
The masks are symbolic of what they actually want. If you're a follower of Christ, shut your mouth, put on a mask, and pay your taxes.
Yep. That's it.
You nailed it. Terry, and I'll tell you, when you look at what Archbishop Corleone is doing, he's getting thousands of people that are, by the way, there's a petition on the article that we have. Sign a petition supporting Archbishop Corleone's. It's a call to end the unfair restrictions on the mass. And it's beautiful to see some of the signs as they were marching on the street, you know,
yep.
praying.
Sure.
It was saying the Mass is essential. These are Catholics who know their faith. The Mass is the most essential thing to be happening right now on planet Earth. And going back here in the article, it says in May, the U.S. Supreme Court sided with the state of California in a 5-4 decision. Mm. Chief Justice John Roberts, again, this guy is just, he's a waffler, Terry. He licks his finger and sees which way the cultural political winds are shifting. Yeah. So Chief Justice John Roberts argued that the court lacks the expertise and authority to second guess the decisions of elected officials in the context of public health decisions during a pandemic. So he kicked the can down the road. He just said, you know what? As a Supreme Court justice, he just said, this is above our pay grade.
Yeah, really.
No, it isn't, Justice Roberts. Nope. Do your job. And Terry, the Department of Justice, they called on the mayor of San Francisco to treat places of worship like the Catholic Church equally with other venues where people share enclosed spaces, such as gyms, such as tattoo parlors, hair salons, massage studios, and daycares. All those at those establishments, the San Francisco City authorities already allow capacities of between 10 and 50%, depending on the type, and provided that sanitary measures and 6-foot distancing is allowed. This whole 6-foot distancing, Terry, I'm just sick of it. I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. There's a Catholic social principle. Not only do we have the principle of subsidiarity, there's another principle in Catholic social teaching called the principle of solidarity, which means Catholics are allowed to join in community, to join in prayer, to encourage each other, you know, like the Knights of Columbus, to do some type of, you know, service for the community, or, you know, soup kitchens. The Catholic, in fact, the word assembly means church. And so the fact that you have this six foot distancing, and, you know, this minimal, you know, 50 people to a building, and the building is as big as a stadium, this violates the Catholic principle that was taught to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, that we're called to assemble. Assemble for what? To show and to give to our society what's good, beautiful, and true.
Jesse, also in the article, Archbishop Coeur de Lion cites an article at the Mass by some doctors, several doctors. They're called Real Clear Science doctors, okay? They're experts. They said, by following public health guidelines, Catholic churches are largely avoided viral spread during more than 1 million Masses and have been celebrated across the United States since the lifting of shelter-in-place orders, the doctors found. So they're giving you the facts that this is not a problem. They said that in this article, there's no evidence that church services are higher risk than similar activities when guidelines are followed. And no, I'm not going to call it the coronavirus again, Jess, sorry.
The
Chinese virus outbreaks have not yet been linked to the celebration of the Mass. So these are just the facts. Even while protesting the city's apparent unequal application of health restrictions, the Archbishop has encouraged his priests to lead the parishes to follow the city guidelines. Jesse, I called the mayor, and I would encourage everybody listening. I called the mayor, left a voice. No, I talked to somebody, and I told him, this is ridiculous. I said, you'll never see me in your city again. I won't spend a dime in your city because of your anti-Catholic actions. Please, and now, more than 19,000 people have signed this petition, more now, supporting Archbishop Coeur de Lion's call to end the unfair restrictions on the Mass. You know what, Jesse? There's going to come a point where we're going to have to just disregard a unjust law and act like it's not a law. That's where I think we're going, Jess.
And I'll tell you one thing. If Joe Biden and Kamala Harris wins, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Oh, this is going to heat up, man.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet because both of them are anti-Catholic bigots.
Yep.
Both of them. And Joe Biden, he's a fake Catholic, Terry.
Well, Cardinal Burke said that, Jesse. I have a clip of him saying that Joe Biden is not a Catholic in good standing. It's on YouTube. If you don't trust me, just Google it. It's sitting there. I'm going to play it on Friday's show. You know why, Jess? I want people to be high information people. When we get to the debate, I'm going to bring up that when Joe Biden is giving facts after facts, you do a fact check, you're going to find out he's a big, fat liar.
Yep. Also, Terry, another thing that regarding what Archbishop Corleone's up against is San Francisco's restrictions on public worship.
Yeah.
They remain probably the strictest
they
in
do.
The entire country.
Yeah.
Because until September 14th, public worship in the city, I mean, listen to this.
Yeah.
It was restricted to 12 participants outdoors.
Ridiculous.
With indoor services prohibited. Are you kidding me?
Yep.
Anti-Catholic bigotry.
Shut them up.
On display.
You got
on
it. Display. Exhibit A.
And as of September 14th,
yep.
Now, wow, they're generous now. Houses of worship in San Francisco are allowed to have 50 people at religious services
outdoors.
Yeah. With indoor services still prohibited until at least October 1st. And trust me, they're going to move the goalpost. San Francisco's revised health order from September 14th states, quote, only one individual member of the public may enter the house of worship at a time. And guess what? They don't give any reason for this. These
obvious.
These are man-made laws.
That's
this
right.
is why
unjust man-made laws, I'll say.
Absolutely. And this is why I give a kudos to the Los Angeles Police Department out here.
Yeah.
John MacArthur, the Protestant pastor of Grace Community in Sun Valley.
Yeah.
Who, again, he's no friend of the Catholic Church, but I'm going to give him credit
Absolutely.
Where credit is due.
Sure.
He's standing up for religious liberty. He called up the chief of Los Angeles, the LAPD, and the chief says, hey, you guys can meet and pray and sing and
love
do whatever
it.
You want.
I love
he
it.
Says, I'm not going to send one cop over there to enforce man-made laws. So the LAPD is already on record.
They're
awesome. Saying, these aren't California
you
penal
bigger
code
fish
laws.
To fry.
These aren't federal laws.
No.
These are man-made laws, and the LAPD says we're not going to go and enforce them.
Good.
And so I would hope that every sheriff and chief of police. I know there's a couple of sheriffs out here that have said the same thing. Oh yeah, I'll just give kudos.
Yeah.
The chief of police of Phoenix has put the whole city on notice. Says, don't call up my officers for people that are not wearing masks and people that are not 6 feet apart, because I'm not going to enforce that because that's not within my wheelhouse.
I love it. Well, I think what's happening, Jesse, after 7 months of this, people are getting tired. I see it coming. And I would just say, I would encourage people to continue to pray, because we need our leaders to do what Archbishop Corleone is doing. I wish we had that going on in the largest diocese in the country, L.A. I'm praying that Archbishop Gomez will see what his brother bishops is doing up in Northern California and implement it here. Jess, when we come back, talking about influencing your priests and bishops, Janet Smith, professor, she's going to talk about how to influence your priests and bishops to speak more on the pro-life issue. We'll be back with more on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
We got Ernesto from Long Beach.
You know, I just wanted to comment, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And I kind of wanted to encourage people that are listening, maybe that are not donating, because honestly, I got to be honest. I used to think you guys were a little
too over the top,
Yeah.
That's right.
If God gave us a lot, and I have the blessing of listening to all this, and I just want to call all the people, I got 5 kids, and I don't make a lot of money, and I'm still donating to you guys.
God bless you, brother. You're amazing.
We have to do this. We have to do the extra. And it's not even the extra. People see it like it's extra. Kneeling for communion, saying your rosary, saying the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is not extra. It's what the church tells us to do.
Amen. You're a good man, brother.
30 years old, 29 years old, 5 kids, and I thank you guys. But everybody else, man, get on fire. Fight for the truth, man. I know what I'm telling you guys. There's
I love it.
Out there.
If you shop on Amazon.com, there's an easy way to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Just visit smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center under the desired charity. Now, when you log into your Amazon account and purchase products, a portion of it will automatically go to support Virgin Most Powerful Radio at no cost to you. Thanks in advance for supporting CRC and VMPR, and may God richly bless you and your family.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Dr. Janet Smith is giving the U.S. bishops
good advice.
Basically, she's giving them, encouraging them, and it's a dog whistle here. It's basically,
it is.
She's saying, hey, it's time to preach during this election, and she's teaching them how to preach and not get into trouble, but still be very effective.
Exactly.
The church's teaching on the sanctity of life and other moral issues should be proclaimed from the pulpit. Dr. Janet Smith, the professor emeritus, she says, and the majority of Catholics have voted for every winner of the presidential election since 1976, with the exception of Donald Trump in 2016. We make up about 23% of the population in the U.S., so the Catholic vote could decide the 2020 election and help put in office the party and candidate who's going to work to end legal protection of abortion and fight other evils as well. Dr. Janet Smith says that, so sadly, Catholics who believe abortion, that it should be legal, and those Catholics who think other issues are just as, if not more important, they're just wrong.
They're not only wrong, so, Jesse. Can I interrupt when you say they're Catholics? I'm with the Father Altman, okay? And what we've been saying, they've ceased to be Catholic when they say that they're
cross
for that abortion.
Line.
They crossed the line. So I understand what she's saying, but they're not Catholic. You get to be a Catholic, man. We've talked about this. You got to believe in the Catholic Church's teachings.
Well, they're apostates at this point. An apostate means somebody who's rejected the teachings of the church.
Knowingly rejected,
Yeah, because they're baptized, so technically they're still part of the body of Christ.
Right.
But they're apostates.
Yep,
they rejected the official teachings of the church.
That's right.
So, and what are we Catholics looking for? Well, Dr. Smith says we're looking for spiritual fathers.
Big time.
We're looking for bishops and priests to give us guidance to properly form our moral conscience so that we vote properly and get to heaven.
Yep.
And one hopes and prays that these homilies against abortion could influence Catholics on how to work to fight that moral evil at election time and all the time throughout the year till we eradicate it. And Dr. Smith says, I believe there are many priests who want to preach on difficult issues, but don't, largely because they fear the negative feedback they're going to get from their parishioners and possibly being silent by their bishop. You don't believe me? Exhibit A, Father James Altman.
And you know, Jesse, Monsignor William Smith used to say, Catholic priests love to be liked. In other words, they don't have a wife and family, and they don't want to get criticized, so they keep quiet. And he says, you can't do that. You got to speak the truth. What did our Lord say? And it's exactly what our Lord, they hated our Lord. They're going to hate you. You know what, Jesse? That's one of the things that when people compliment you, you know what I say to Jess Romero? Jesse, be careful.
I say, knock it off. I tell people, knock it off.
Exactly.
They start, knock it off. Okay, pray for me.
Yeah.
Okay? If you think that was a good talk, just pray for my conversion. I don't want to go to hell.
Exactly. And that's my point. So these priests need to know that they have to speak the truth. And let's face it, Jesse, especially cardinals who are wearing the red vestments, they're wearing that because it signifies their martyrdom, willingness to lay down their life as a good shepherd for the flock. And I'm going to tell you, how do you lay your life down? Well, by protecting the unborn. And that's why, you know, what Janet Smith is giving them, she's giving the priests and bishops ideas on how to say it in a way, like, for example, let's say you're in a congregation and they're going to walk out on you because you're going to talk about abortion. She said, today I'm going to speak on a controversial issue. You may cringe to hear that, but didn't Jesus frequently attempt to get people to believe very challenging truths? Of course he did. One of the most important jobs of a priest, she says, is to help people form their conscience. And if I fail to do so, I will be answerable for neglecting my duties. In other words, at the exit, yes, at the exit interview, we got to speak up. So she says, yes, telling the truth can cause division. Of course, indeed, Jesus said he came not to bring peace, but a sword, which will separate a man from his father, a daughter from his mother. It's right in the Bible, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 to 36. Now, Jess, she also makes this other comment. I really like it. Let's see what we can learn about the importance about this moral teaching from today's readings. And so she really, she does it in a very, delicate way, but she gets the point across. And I think that, you know, priests can learn from this woman because, as I say, she's taught in the seminary. And basically what she's telling them.
You're talking moral theology.
Yeah, but you know what she's telling the priest to put your big boy pants on. Now, I mean it. Yes, put your big boy pants on, gentlemen. And it's a woman telling you that, guys.
I know.
I mean, Jesse, I'm sorry, but you know what I say? Guys, you really have to have a woman professor tell you to stand up and speak the truths about the faith. Yes, we actually have to tell them that. But, Jesse, it's a little embarrassing. I'm going to be honest with you.
Well, that's where we're at right now, Terry. That's why St. Catherine of Siena had to tell the Pope in the Middle Ages to man up and do the right thing as a Pope. And it's happened throughout the history of the church.
Yep.
I'm going to use St. Peter's language, where the inferior sex, and it means like the weaker sex.
Yep. If
the weaker sex, that's what the word St. Peter uses, has to tell the stronger, in other words, the patriarchal,
right,
do your job.
Exactly.
Come on. Act like a man. I'm a woman. You're supposed to lead and protect and provide for us.
Yep.
Yes, Dr. Janet Smith has Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Powerful exhortation. Psalm 24. Psalm 25, excuse me.
25, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
All the way to 9.
Yep.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. There's a lot of good verses that priests can use to preach from to preface in their homilies. This is why I'm going to say what I'm about to say right now.
Yeah.
She also says,
I love this,
that our culture thinks it knows better than God, and we find it very hard to obey God in all things.
Yep.
Our culture thinks it's unfair that God not permit abortion,
and in fact
believes that abortion is necessary for human happiness.
Oh,
still, as Scripture makes clear, we won't achieve happiness or salvation if we reject God's law.
Amen to that.
She says, I know that some of you have had abortions or enabled them,
and
I want you to know, I'm not preaching on this issue to condemn you, but to relieve you of the burden of that sin.
Mm.
The good Lord came to forgive sins, so I invite anyone who carries the sin of abortion to come to confession and to reconcile yourself to the Lord. He does not want you to carry that burden.
Beautiful.
I would like you to be free of that burden and for others never to experience it. I also recommend that women and men involved in abortion take advantage of one of the abortion healing ministries, such as Rachel's Vineyard or Grief to Grace. So here Dr. Smith is teaching priests, these are homily helps.
Exactly.
Use these things that I'm writing down in this article so you can launch a homily into this area, and she's done the homework for you.
She done it. Yeah. And people, the National Catholic Register, that's where you can get that article, or on our homepage here, but I just want to say, Jesse, she did a great service to the church, and I thank Dr. Smith for that. Jess, we got a few extra minutes. Can we start getting into, I mean, we had this big debate, an hour and a half long debate with President Trump and Joe Biden, and I'm just going to give you my take on it. I saw a lot of shouting, a lot of insults, a lot of interruptions, but what I really would say is this. I noticed that there's a book called Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. And Joe Biden goes by that book, I could tell, because every time information was given out on facts about the economy or about his son having to be kicked out of the military because of drug addictions, everything he denied. He just kept denying everything. And so it was like, wow, no matter what, if it's red, no, it's not red, it's blue. Now, you know, he was just denying anything for the whole night. And I just thought, that's typical, right out of the playbook for Rules for Radicals.
Yep. Here's my analysis, Terry. I watched it last night.
Yeah.
The President Trump versus the Joe Biden debate. Yeah. First of all, my analysis is this.
Tell me.
The debate was unfair. Why? It was a two-on-one.
Exactly.
It was Joe Biden and Chris Wallace
That's true.
Versus Donald Trump.
Yep.
It was plain for everybody to see.
Yeah.
Now, some people are complaining. Some people are complaining, saying, oh, the president had to interrupt. Well, let me tell you why. Why did the president of the United States have to interrupt so many times? Simple. It's because he was debating two people. Now, listen. You had a 90-minute debate. It was 90 minutes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It probably went a little over 90 minutes, but so in this 90-minute debate, you have the president speaking a third of the time. You have fake Catholic Joe Biden speaking a third of the time. And you have Chris Wallace, who I would call the third opponent, the Democrat shill, yep. speaking a third of the time. So follow me.
Mm-hmm.
So in 90 minutes, the audience heard 60% or actually 66% of the time they heard from the Democrats, and, you know, 34% of the time they heard from the Republicans, because, again, all of them had about a third of speaking time, and Wallace and Biden were on the same team.
Yep.
Chris Wallace is a Democrat, in case you're wondering. Now, Trump did something that was most people, I caught it. He was very sharp about doing this, even the fact that they put him on his heels, because it was a 2-on-1 right from the beginning. But President Trump was smart enough to get Joe Biden to separate himself from his base, because last night, everybody who's going to vote for Trump is going to still vote for Trump. And Everybody who's going to vote for Biden is still going to, everybody's going to dig in their heels after last night's debate.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
So they were speaking to their base. Well, President Trump got Joe Biden to separate himself from his base, which is not going to play too well, especially today, because he was pressing him on, well, where are you on defunding the police?
Exactly.
Joe Biden didn't want to give a clear answer, because Trump kept pressing him on that, because he goes back and forth on that issue. President Trump also got him to separate from his radical leftists in the party on the new Green Deal. Biden says, I've got my own new Green Deal. Oh, really? I can imagine what the left was saying. The Twitter was probably going crazy, and what they're telling him this morning, they're probably in his face. You're supposed to put out our new Green Deal, not yours. Also, President Trump kept asking him, hey, you're going to pack the Supreme Court if you become president, right, with 15 justices. He didn't want to answer that.
No, he didn't.
Because that's one of the leftist issues. They want to pack the Supreme Court with 15 justices and bring a bunch of ACLU attorneys. Biden would not admit that that's the party's position. So President Trump got him to separate from his party on national television.
Wow.
That's a good thing. I'll continue my analysis with the Hispanic vote next.
Yes, that's going to be fascinating. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. We'll be right back.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love. According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before. at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America, the Billboard people.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
This is our blue-collar Catholic analysis on the debate last night. As I was saying, President Trump got Joe Biden to separate himself from his base on several key issues. That's not going to play very well for Joe Biden this morning. He's probably having high-level meetings with the radical leftists in his party saying, Why didn't you say this? Why did you deny that? Why did you separate yourself from us in this issue? I can tell you this. Yeah, a lot of the things that Biden refused to answer is not going to play well with the radical left in his party today. Here's something else that's interesting. Telemundo, which is one of the biggest conglomerates in media today, they were tracking the debate with Hispanics and seeing how they would vote. Well, right after the debate, they put out through social media and through their webpage that 66% of Hispanics said that they were going to vote for Trump, said that Trump won the debate, essentially. Okay, and 34% of Hispanics said that Biden won the debate. This is huge. This is never, there's no Republican that's ever ginned up and excited Hispanics so much as Donald J. Trump. Why is that? Well, I'm Mexican-American, so I have some insight into this. I'll tell you what especially Hispanic men like a lot. Hispanic men love strong male leaders. That's what they see in President Trump. They see strong patriarchal protection of a country. That is what Hispanic men gravitate towards, strong leaders. Another thing that Hispanics in general gravitate towards, small businesses. Yeah,
of course.
Many Hispanics are just, they're entrepreneurs. They make their living through small businesses. Go into the average town and stuff, and you'll see they got mom and pop shops. They're selling popsicles. They're cutting the grass in your yard. They're cleaning your pool. They're entrepreneurs. Most Hispanics, especially the ones that are first generation that just come over here from south of the border, they don't have fat paying government jobs. They don't. And so last night, they heard Biden say he would shut down the country if he is president. This horrified Hispanics because, by and large, Hispanics from south of the border, they make their living through small businesses, not high-paying government jobs. And then finally, Terry, everybody knows, and as the Hispanics know this, especially because they're seeing it in their neighborhoods, they know that these riots are being orchestrated by Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And they know that the Democrat Party is very quiet about them. Why? Because this is the military branch of the Democrat Party to try to usher in Joe Biden into office. And Chris Wallace, it's interesting. He was not biased. Yeah, right. Chris Wallace asked President Trump to condemn the white supremacists, but he did not think to ask Joe Biden to condemn Antifa and Black Lives Matter. Very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But all you got to do, Terry, is do a word search. President Trump has denounced these white supremacists many times. Guess what? Biden, He's never denounced the violent left-wing extremists like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Why? Because, number one, he gets money from these organizations. Type in Antifa.com. It goes to Biden-Harris website.
Right, follow the money.
And Black Lives Matter has a link on their page.
Sure.
That goes to Harris's campaign.
Yep.
So, of course, he's not going to denounce these left-wing urban terrorists. And in fact, Joe Biden, any chance he gets, he explicitly repeats the talking points from these two extremist organizations. And finally, this is why he's not going to denounce them, because they give to his campaign. And here's the last thing that I'll say. And this put Joe Biden on his heels,
yeah,
Gary. Joe Biden could not name a single law enforcement agency that supports his candidacy. That was huge.
Yeah, that was obvious. And Jesse,
that's my take.
Okay, I'm going to ask you from the Hispanic, but before I do that, I want to just give the facts out. There were 36% less people watching this debate than 4 years ago with Hillary Clinton.
Wow.
Yeah, that's huge. Okay, and people are asking, why is that? Well, I'm going to say this. I don't know if people can get excited on the Democratic side for Joe Biden. I just think that they're kind of like, But here's my question, Jesse, about the Hispanic. Lots of media, especially here in Los Angeles, the media supports liberal. Spanish media is basically as liberal as they get. Is that a fair statement?
It's like MSNBC, CNN. Okay. Yeah.
So how is it that the Hispanics who watch a lot of media, who are being persuaded to be progressive and left-wing, that they're getting the message that, hey, we like this guy? Now, I realize what you said about masculinity and leadership and entrepreneur, he's a businessman. But my question is, how is it, the Hispanic vote is huge in this country. It keeps growing every year. There's more Hispanics getting into the voting age. And so here's my question to you, Jess. Are we going to be in a position, in other words, a country, to have the Hispanic vote really make a huge difference in who's going to be the next president of the United States?
Well, yeah, this is why President Trump, more than any Republican in the history of this country, is going after the Hispanic vote big time. No Republican has ever worked this hard. In fact, I think it's next week or the following week, I'm going to be on a bus tour around here in the Southwest on a Trump bus speaking to Hispanics. So I'll be probably doing the radio from a bus.
I love it.
I've never seen Republicans do this, Terry.
Well,
ever.
Let me go after the
Hispanic vote. Well, but here's the last thing that I want to mention just to prove my...
Sure.
I want to prove a point that you made.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden, he was prepared for this debate they basically just immersed them in Alinsky thought.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll tell you why, because Sal Alinsky has, there's 12 rules that he's taught people, Marxists and socialists. Here's the rules that we saw Biden using last night to a T. Rule number 5, Alinsky writes, ridicule is man's most potent weapon.
Yep.
It's hard to counteract and it infuriates the opposition, which then reacts to your advantage. Biden used last night ridicule. Mm-hmm. He's a clown. He said stuff that, Terry, is so, it's so unbecoming of a man of office, Terry.
Yeah.
But he applied rule number 5, ridicule your opponent to trigger him. Biden also used rule number 8. It says this. Actually, Chris Wallace used this. Keep constant pressure upon the opposition. It is this that will cause the opposition to react to your advantage. It was Chris Wallace that kept on pressing him on issues that he's already answered. Denounce the KKK, denounce white supremacists, and asking him questions that Trump is on record making comments on this since day one of his presidency, just about. But Chris Wallace was just trying to chew up time and just kill time by asking him some of these questions to make him look bad.
Yeah.
But he's already answered. Point number 10, rule number 10. Sal Alinsky writes, if you push a negative hard enough, it will become a positive. Mm-hmm. Provoking violence from the other side can win the public to your side. Both Chris Wallace and Joe Biden were pushing Trump's buttons. Some of them were straight name calling. And you can see Chris Wallace's questions were antagonistic. This was meant, as Alinsky writes in rule number 10, to provoke a reaction from the other side. Why? To win the public to your side. That's why a lot of people today, you know, you see on Twitter and social media, they're saying, wow, the other side got President Trump very angry and stuff, and I don't know if he advanced the football for all our side. That was a strategy, an Alinsky strategy. Rule number 11, because they used five rules last night. Rule number 11, Alinsky writes, the price of a successful attack is a constructive alternative. Avoid being trapped by an opponent who says, okay, what would you do? Again, now here's my comment. That's why Democrats never have a solution and they only speak in platitudes. Anytime Trump tried to corner him on an issue, he did rule number 11.
Yeah.
Alinsky says, avoid being trapped by an opponent. Mm-hmm. When he says, okay, what would you do? And so just don't answer his question and just obfuscate.
Yep, he did that really
exactly
well.
That's exactly what Biden did last night.
Yeah.
Masterfully.
Yeah.
He didn't answer direct questions.
Right.
He obfuscated. Rule number 12, and then I'll give it to you, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Alinsky's rule number 12 is this. Pick the target, freeze it, personalize it, and polarize it. Identify a responsible individual and ignore attempts to shift or spread the blame. That's exactly what Chris Wallace and Biden in collusion, they were saying, your problem is the virus, and your problem is the shutdown of the country, and your problem is the economy going south. In other words, they were trying to make him the target and polarize him as if the problems that we're facing right now came from his hands, not from a collusion of China and the Democrat Party.
Exactly.
And again, they were trying to make him responsible for things that he has no power or control over. So, yeah, Joe Biden and Chris Wallace used the Sal Alinsky method to debate last night. Point number 5, point number 8, point number 10, point number 11, point number 12. All this is in my book, Knocked Off the Donkey.
Well said, Jesse. And it Rules for Radicals is the name of the book that Jesse's referring to also. I just want to throw one more thing in. Chris Wallace knew this, that the economy was going at a really great rate. This was back in the first of the year, and he asked on Fox News the Democrats, what are you guys going to do to knock Trump out? The economy's out of control. It's going so high. I mean, we haven't had it this high in 50 years. Unemployment's way down. All these are just, you know, what are you guys going to do? And so when the question came up about the economy doing so well, of course, Joe Biden denied it, said that's not true. And Chris Wallace knew better because, like I said, he was on the television. He knows what the economic was doing extremely well. And, of course, he made it sound like, again, that, yeah, this is just false information. And the point of it was you just deny the facts. And I think if you do the fact-checking, I think Michael Voris did a very fine job, Joe or Jesse, on the
he was
internet.
Covering it live.
He did a nice job over at Church Militant. You might want to check that out because I thought he did good. Jesse, more importantly than the election, how to get to heaven, Jess? What are the five stones?
Well, you get to heaven, first of all, by not voting for Joe Biden because you're gonna attach yourself to mortal sin if you do that.
Yep.
Okay?
That's what number
so,
one.
So to get to heaven, live in a state of grace.
Yep.
And as the Catholic, that means don't live in a state of mortal sin. And guess what? Your vote can actually cause you your eternal salvation.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
Pick up your rosary, go to Mass, read your Bible, do penance, especially right now for the elections, and make sure that you remain in a state of grace by going to confession often, once a month at least. Terry, go ahead.
Yes, and I want to say up next is Matt Arnold here at Virgin Most Powerful. Don't forget, we have a special show on Friday at 5 o'clock. It's a premiere with Bishop Joseph Strickland and Father Altman. 1 hour interview. You won't want to miss it. Special this Friday at 5 only on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. God bless you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.